This is an ENN special report. Now reporting.
Peter, you look very handsome.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
I want to go chase the squall.
Peter's nothing interesting to say.
This is Gil.
Now, from the ESPN New York news desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
It's a great point by Edith. I hope Edith's well. I haven't talked to her in a while. And welcome to ENN on a Monday evening. Going to start off today by saying good evening to Michael.
So you have a big guest today.
Yeah, Peter's actually going to be on today.
And then I'd like to say good evening to Don.
What?
Good evening to Don.
What?
When
Peter,
was that?
Can I just give a little bit of news before you start?
Go ahead.
Always interrupting.
Always what?
Nothing.
Interrupting, he said. Interrupting.
All right, what's your lead story? Maybe you have it.
No, I probably don't.
The players' union leaders voted 33-5 to reject the Major League Baseball framework proposal. The ball is now in the commissioner's hands if he wants to, in fact, implement a season or if he just wants to blow the whole thing up and say, wait till next year. The thought is he will implement a season of about 50-something games.
Meaning, he's going to force them to split the difference?
No, he has the right with that March 26th agreement to implement a season. They can't come to an agreement, so they couldn't come to an agreement. So he could say, okay, we're going to have a 56-game season, but because he's implementing, they will file a grievance. They will obviously not have an expanded playoffs. There will not be a DH in the National League. They will not have a runner at second base in extra innings, or games can't end in ties. The players won't wear microphones. I'll tell you what, I've said it over and over again, absolutely no regard for the future of the sport, by the way both sides acted. Neither side bent that much. It's ridiculous. It really is.
He'll implement a 58-game season, say. Right?
Or something, yeah.
Or something in that nature. In that neighborhood, I should say. And but it'll be a regular season.
Yep.
Right? There'll be no expanded playoffs, no runner at second base, no DH in the National League, all that stuff. So it's just going to be a normal season, but instead of 162, it'll be 50-ish.
Right.
So no experimentation whatsoever.
Nothing. Completely wasted the season. You've gone back and forth, got nothing accomplished. It's really incredible. I mean, it's incredible on both sides. You know, most people are going to like point it to the owners and say, you know, they could have gone to 65 and it would have cost them whatever amount of millions of dollars per team. It shouldn't have been that big of a deal. But you know what? The players didn't budge either. The players said, tell us when and where. They said, okay, 60 games, here's the deal. It was up from their previous proposal, and they wouldn't do it. The players wouldn't yield at all. So, okay, what kind of Pyrrhic victory did they exactly get? They just imploded the sport. That's what they did. They imploded the sport.
It's already June 22nd. The NHL players are going to vote on this latest proposal that it looks like the hockey will actually get started on July 30th. The NBA looks like they're going forward at the end of July as well. So if baseball does come back, it's going to probably be in the thick of everything else going on. So since they never really considered the fans or the pandemic or anything, why start now? Right? You think they're just going to all of a sudden wake up and say, boy, we look really foolish. We got to come to a deal. They're already in. They're neck deep.
It's amazing. The lack of give on either side, and the players, we gave a lot. You know, we took a big pay cut. You haven't played a game yet. You haven't taken a pay cut. I don't care how you want to say that. You haven't. So I don't understand. Why wouldn't you? The only reason they didn't take this proposal, in my opinion, and I think it's a pretty good opinion, the only reason they refused to take this proposal was they want to file the grievance because they want to cripple the owners. So here's the thought process. We don't want to do this for the good of the game, and we want to file a grievance that might cripple the owners. You want to put the sport out of business, then you'd be in good shape. Then you could get together with Kyrie Irving and start a league on your own. I don't understand the scorched earth policy. That's how much both sides hate each other.
Right, and the owners and the owners are getting what they want. They want as little games as possible. So they're dragging their feet so they can implement the 50-ish game schedule. And the players are okay because then they know they can file a grievance. So they're getting to where they want to go, but it's not good for anybody.
It's the amount of short-sightedness on both sides is absolutely, in my opinion, staggering. Staggering how much they don't want to have one side claim any kind of victory at all. But each side wants to cripple the other side. Absolutely cripple the other side. That's when they'll be happy. Okay, go. Scorch the earth.
All right. Obviously, a lot of conversation about Bubba Wallace yesterday and what happened in the lead-up to Talladega, which, by the way, is going on right now. We'll get to that in a second. But yesterday, a noose was found in the garage, in Wallace's garage, which is a team owned by Richard Petty. And all of NASCAR has essentially come together to condemn this act and defend Bubba Wallace. Today, just before the start of the race, he was accompanied by every driver in the field who he sat in his car and had his car basically pushed by everyone, showing his support, showing their support for him. And then afterwards, there was a great moment. There's a photograph where you can see him sort of standing in front with all of the drivers behind him in what was a pretty intense moment before they got started today. Don, currently, you can break down what this means for us. Stage two, 16 laps to go. Wallace is
11.
Just went to 13th.
I got him in the top 10 now. He's moving up.
So
he's eighth now. He's 0.27 seconds behind the leader.
And
so with 15 to go in this type of race, he's very much alive.
So I'm telling you, I just think that this circumstance, with what has happened now, the stance he's taken, and now that the attack he's under, I love how much these racists are going to suffer. Because, Don, I don't know what you think. I see Wallace becoming the face of the sport. I really think he has an opportunity. If he somehow wins a race or two while this spotlight is on, it'll be shored up even more.
Well,
but I just think this is going to blow up in these racists' face. He's instantaneously now has the most eyes on him of anyone in the sport.
Well, just like anything else, you got to be good, right? You're not going to get to the point where you're gonna be able to captivate the imagination of people if you're not winning races. And I'm just looking now; just things are going up and down. He was actually moved up to third at one point. Now he's back down. I'm watching it right now. Unfortunately, if you see my head craning, it's because the camera that we got situated is right where the leaderboard is on my television.
I'm seeing him up to five now, Don.
But
up to three. I guess I'm a little behind you.
Yeah,
up to two.
He's in the thick of this right now. So, but you got to be good, right? I mean, having a lot of things going for you and not winning races is not going to work. So, but if he can get to the point where he's competitive and he's winning races, yeah. And let's face facts here. The noose incident is probably because of the way NASCAR has responded. Because I think whoever
right.
did that's ticked off that their sport's being taken away from them in their perspective, right? So that's their way of lashing back out. So you got to quiet these people, but they're not going to go quiet into that good night just that quickly. But would you agree that if NASCAR wasn't responding to the Confederate flag and all that, that maybe that noose isn't found there? I think this is in direct response to NASCAR being so proactive about it.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. They are overwhelmed and shocked that as they see it, they're losing their sport. So we'll keep you up to date abreast of what's going on.
Also,
at Talladega.
Incumbent upon NASCAR to find the person. Because the limitations on people that could get to the track, to get to the garage because of coronavirus, there are very few people that will have access to get into those exclusive areas. They should be able to find who did it.
I'm thinking it's probably, it's not a fan. I would think it'd be very difficult for a fan to get in there and get away with it. So you wonder, it's somebody that has access. So it's either somebody within NASCAR or somebody that works at the track. And I would think that you would be able, there'd be some sort of a trail camera-wise to figure out who it was. But maybe if you don't find the person, just the access that person might have had has to be looked upon, right? You just can't waltz into a garage and hang that up there without somebody finding out about it.
You could also, you could sabotage a car if you have that easy access into a garage. You would think that there's got to be security cameras there.
I would have to think. This would look very bad if they don't find out who it is, because as you just said, it would really show you how insecure what a very secure place is actually.
So the first NBA player is out on the Orlando restart. It's Davis Bertans of the Washington Wizards. He's a candidate for most improved player, and he's going to sit out the restart in Orlando as a preventative measure with free agency looming, according to Woj. He's on the cusp of a big deal. He has two previous ACLs, and the Wizards are supportive of him staying back. Now, the Wizards supposedly have a shot, an outside shot at the playoffs, but as we were talking about earlier, it's an outside shot. And, Don, this is one of the things we talked about earlier in the week, is players who see themselves as being in a spot where they're about to make a lot of money, do you want to take a risk? Well, this is the first player to say, nope, I'm good.
And there's another one now, too. Trevor Ariza.
Ariza's out.
He's in a really intense custody battle. And when they'll be down in the bubble, that is the month that the ex-wife said that he could see his 12-year-old son. And he said, it's more important for me to spend that time with my son.
Yeah, it's tough to argue that, right?
Very.
Now, what are their chances?
I mean, it's going to be the Lakers or the Clippers, I would think, but
it's really just the NBA, right? I mean, like, the NHL will probably have less of a problem because they have so many upsets in the NHL, right? Baseball, the same thing, right?
Well, I mean, Portland, you know, was on the outside looking in, so they got a chance.
They were 3.5 back.
Right. They got a chance, but they don't have a chance to win the whole thing.
But again, but Carmelo Anthony's not going to play, right?
He's still up in the air.
So that obviously hurts if you lose Carmelo.
I mean,
I just think like if baseball had the situation where they're going to have half the league get in, and the way baseball is structured, Peter, I mean, anybody could win, I guess, under those circumstances. But hockey, we've seen 8 seeds win before. I think the Rangers have a great chance of making a run, and they were a team that probably was not going to make the playoffs had this not happened. But basketball just doesn't really honor underdogs like that, right? So
very rarely.
So I guess you can, as much as you want to give it that old college try and all that, and I'm sure there's some guys in the room that'll be ticked off because what little chance they had is now gone if star players aren't going to play for them. But life gets in the way sometimes.
Statement here from the MLBPA. The MLBPA executive board met multiple times in recent days to assess the status of our efforts to resume the 2020 season. Earlier this evening, the full board reaffirmed the players' eagerness to return to work as soon and as safely as possible. To that end, we anticipate finalizing a comprehensive set of health and safety protocols with Major League Baseball in the coming days, and we await word from the league on the resumption of spring training camps and a proposed 2020 schedule. While we had hoped to reach a revised back-to-work agreement with the league, the players remain fully committed to proceeding under our current agreement and getting back on the field for the fans, for the game, and for each other.
It was more important to them to have the grievance in their back pocket than to sign this deal and better the game with the playoffs, with all the rule changes and things like that. They had public sentiment way on their side for the first time ever when they said, tell us when and tell us where to show up. They were told, 60 games, let's do it. No. We meant when and where the way we want.
Yeah.
We didn't just mean when and where the way we want. So the only thing I think that stood in the way of an agreement is they feel that they have a chance to win the grievance to get billions of dollars from the owners. Okay, good. Put a couple of teams out of business. And also what they also ensured by voting this down, there will be no free agent market this offseason. Because if you think the owners are going to take a hit like this and then continue to spend money as if it didn't happen, you're very, very naive. I don't think they're naive, but to think that the owners are just going to spend, it's not going to happen. That money that they lost this year, because you could say they budgeted to make X amount of millions of dollars this year, and they're all going to lose money. You think they're going to sit back? No, they'll take it somewhere else. And the fact they will not be going to the free agent market. I'll be interested to see what a Mookie Betts or Marcus Stroman gets. But those days, they turn this offseason into a nuclear free agent winter. Watch what happens.
Because how can you accuse them of collusion if they lost the season and lost a ton of money. All they could say is, well, the reason we didn't sign any free agents, look at all the money we lost. Where do you expect us to recoup the money we lost?
They're hoping that they're going to be able to spread all the money around to all the players when they win a grievance worth $2 billion.
But there's always a chance you can lose it.
Well, the owners think they have an 80% chance to win. The 20% chance is even in the most ironclad cases, you might run into the wrong judge. And if you do, then you end up losing when you didn't think you did. So if the owners think for sure they have an 80% chance, so the baseball players are willing to affect long-term the sport for a 20% chance to win, a 20% chance.
Guys, let's hear from Brett Favre, who talked to TMZ Sports and had some pretty interesting things to say about the legacy of Colin Kaepernick.
It's not easy for a guy his age, black or white, Hispanic, whatever, to stop something that you've always dreamed of doing and put it on hold, maybe forever, for something that you believe in. You know, I can only think of right off the top of my head, Pat Tillman's another guy who did something similar. And we regard him as a hero. So I assume that hero status will be stamped with Kaepernick as well.
Wow. Pretty amazing to get that from Brett Favre. That's a meaningful statement to put him opinion, in the category with Pat Tillman.
I mean, I never thought of it that way, but think about that. You're comparing him to Pat Tillman. That's Brett Favre. That's not, you know, some nobody.
Michael, use one of your random names that you would use for a nobody quarterback.
Joe Slobotnik. Yo-Yo Bumchuck.
Jeff Fisteris.
No. Gnoitny and Fisteris.
Are they always together?
Yeah.
Don't have first names?
Like Kukla, Fran, and Ollie.
They don't have first names?
They do, but they're not known.
That's sad. I wish I knew. But yeah, that was a pretty cool statement from Brett Favre. Now, staying with the NFL, the league has issued a memo to all 32 teams mandating that they divide their organizations into tiers that define where personnel can go and what they can do. The tiers would be designed to limit access to restricted areas like practice and stadium field, sidelines, locker room, and training rooms to essential personnel only. Teams have to assign tiers to all their employees who wear a tiered photographed credential to get their access. By the way, is that different than it already is? I mean, I already would have assumed it was somewhat like that, but maybe not.
I would think, but I guess now it's official. Football's going to have a tough time.
But a man's been arrested and charged.
Say, here's the key. Doesn't matter what Dr. Fauci says or any expert says. They can only suggest the leagues will do what they want to do. So the NFL's always had that arrogance about themselves, and they usually turn out to be right. Oh, Super Bowl in New York? It won't. The weather won't be bad. Bang, it's almost a 70-degree day out of nowhere.
Now, so I don't know if you, Don, you and I watched the same show, so I don't know if you saw Bill Maher on Friday, but he had a stat that this is what the NFL will say. He said in Wuhan, which was the center of the outbreak of the coronavirus, one person under the age of 30 has passed away. One. And that was a sumo wrestler who's obviously big. So that's what they're going to say. Yeah, people are going to get sick, but they're not going to die.
But, you know, and
will coaches die? Will support people die? I don't know.
Well, here's what, you know, and this is the scary thing for baseball. Because, like, what Dr. Fauci said is, yeah, the risk is minimal. That you will be hospitalized or die if you're a professional athlete. And if you're willing to take that risk, and if the league's willing to take that risk, fine. But for a baseball standpoint, you're going home. So you're exposing your wife, you're exposing your children, and then whoever they're going to expose. So he seemed to be more concerned, not so much for the player, but the spread. Right?
Right, for people that could die.
Right. So, yeah, you're asymptomatic, or yeah, you've got a mild case and you'll be fine, but meanwhile you go visit your 80-year-old grandmother and then you kill her. Now, that's why the hub seems like the best case, because you'll be there. right? So you don't have to worry about going back and exposing your family or exposing different people at the supermarket or whatever. But for baseball and for football, the way their plan is, yeah, you'll social distance and everything else at the park. But then once you get home, you don't know what everybody's going to be doing or what your family's been doing.
PGA Championship has a green light. It's going to be hosted at San Francisco's Harding Park. No spectators. But it's been a long time considering other scenarios, and they have decided to go forward in San Francisco. They were waiting for state health officials to see if they could do it, but they have. It'll be without fans, but it is going to happen August 6th through August 9th. Don, excited?
No, not remotely.
Michael?
I mean, I'm happy for them and all the people that'll get a chance to see and do it, but I'm not excited. You, Michael?
No, not much is exciting me lately.
Can't wait.
Mean, I will watch every
golf.
A man has been arrested and charged with assault for punching the Eagles' Dallas Goedert. I know. Andrew was not happy, but he was having dinner in South Dakota with his family, and randomly a man named Douglas Hadala sucker punched him at the bar. He had to be hospitalized. He was knocked unconscious.
Where was this?
South Dakota at a bar. I mean, it's tough knocking out an NFL tight end with one punch. That's quite a sucker punch.
What do we define a sucker punch from that caller last week? Do you remember?
Well, see, I felt differently than the caller did. I believe the sucker punch is the person either can't see you or has no idea a punch is coming. That's how I
always thought it was.
That's what I believe it to be.
I never for a second thought that the sucker was the puncher. I thought the person that's getting punched is the sucker because they weren't prepared for it.
Yeah, but you throw a sucker punch. So the person who throws a sucker punch is not a sucker. He's a bad guy or gal.
Right, but the caller that we have is claiming that the sucker punch, the sucker is the guy throwing the punch.
No.
I agree with you. I think that it's the person that got suckered, the person that didn't see it coming.
Borna Koric became the second player in tennis to test positive for COVID-19. After participating in a tennis event in Croatia. The first was Grigor Dimitrov, who announced he was positive. Nick Kyrgios saw this and then called out the tour event in Croatia. Quote, boneheaded decision to go ahead with the, quote, exhibition, speedy recovery, fellas. But that's what happens when you disregard all protocols. All caps, this is not a joke.
Yeah, did you see a picture of the party?
No, the people didn't care?
They had a big party. They were all, like, shirtless, and they're all dancing, and they're close to each other. There was no social distancing. There was no mask. So they didn't take it seriously. I mean, when Kyrgios is your voice of reason, that's a scary thing.
It's a great point by you. And also, seeing a player named Borna Koric reminds me of one of the great names from my school years. There was a kid in our school whose name was Borna Luza.
Oh. I'm sure you guys took advantage of that.
I mean, no. I think everyone, it was one of those things that was so inherently funny that no one made fun. It was just, not to his face.
That was really his name?
His name was Borna Luza.
Oh,
only in a conversation in my school, the only name that was in a conversation for being as good was Dennis Menace.
Really? That's mean parents.
Both real.
How do you name
Borna Luza and Dennis Menace, both in my school 100%.
Hey, there was a football player in the early 90s, I think, for the Cleveland Browns, Ben Gay. How is your last name Gay and you name him Ben?
You know,
especially when you play football and you probably apply a lot of Ben Gay, right?
Dak Prescott has signed a $31.4 million franchise tender. So they now have until July 15th to work out a long-term deal. Dak Prescott, $31 million man or nah?
No. But,
his contract's up now.
If you get my drift, it's the timing is everything, right? Do I think Dak Prescott is a great quarterback? No. Do I think he's a very good quarterback? Yes.
Well, here's the question. Is Dak, would you guys argue that Dak so far is basically on the exact same level with Kirk Cousins?
I think Cousins. He has more skills than Cousins.
Yeah, I think Cousins is better, but you make a great point.
But Cousins has done... Dak might have better skills, like maybe. You could make that argument, Michael, but I would say Cousins has done more. He's certainly thrown for more
yardage. He's done more, but I think he has more skills. Dak has more skills.
But they're in the same category for money, though, right?
No, well, that's the thing, is you're going to pay him based on... It's the exact opposite of the Jamal Adams situation, because he plays the position in the sport. So you end up having to pay more than you think he's worth, because what's the alternative? Losing him?
Which must be so, and I get why that's frustrating for players.
Of course.
I get why it's frustrating to be the best at your position and feel unsure of what you're able to earn versus someone who's completely unsure at his position but absolutely confident in what he's able to earn.
But
I can see how that's tough, but it is what it is.
You know, too bad they couldn't make the decision in the middle of last year when Dak looked like he was going to be the MVP of the league. But then the schedule got tougher and he didn't play as well. They finished 8-8, missed the playoffs.
But the thing is, that they've agreed on the money. They know what they want to be paid. He wants a shorter deal. They want a longer deal. It's 1 year. That's the difference. They want to give him a 4-year deal. He wants a 4-year deal. They want a 5-year deal. So they have to go through this again in 4 years.
Well, you hope, like, that he's still, you know, to the point where it could go bad for him too.
Hey, unrelated.
So that's why he wants the 5th year.
Unrelated to Dak Prescott, Michael, I rewatched for maybe the first time in, I think it had been at least a decade.
Wow.
One of my favorite movies of all time, Do the Right Thing.
Yeah.
Boy, was your uncle an iconic character, boy.
Should have won the Academy Award.
I mean, who did he lose to
again?
His
birthday over the weekend, too. He lost to Denzel.
I mean, there are worse L's to take.
Yeah, but he lost to Denzel got that year because he should have gotten the year before, and they really messed it up.
Wait, what was the year before?
He won for Glory, right?
Yeah.
So he lost for Malcolm X.
Right, right. No, Malcolm X was after.
All
right,
then
maybe he lost for Philadelphia.
I don't know if that was it. Maybe, but he had lost the year before, and everybody felt he should have won. So. It was almost like a makeup call, a lot of people thought. But I'm obviously biased.
I haven't gotten a decade, Peter. But I've gone a few years probably without seeing it start to finish. Sometimes it's on, I'll watch for a couple of minutes.
If you
made that today, what changes?
You talk about something
not aging well, like what would you possibly change?
That's what makes it amazing. It taps into so many conversations that are happening right now.
And that was, what, 91?
89.
So think about that. 30 years ago. Could be made today. And you wouldn't have to change a thing. Plot. Everything.
By the way...
It would have been 86 over the weekend.
Wow. Man,
which is surprising because, you know, I hadn't seen him that recently, Michael. But
never
he didn't look like
that.
He was...
Until he got sick at the end, like it was expedited, like within a month, you looked at him the way he acted, you thought he was in the 70s.
On this day, in 1994, the Rockets, led by Hakeem the Dream Olajuwon, win their first NBA title, beating the Knicks 90-84 in Game 7 of the Finals. Olajuwon averaged 27-9 in the series, becoming the first player born outside the U.S. to win Finals MVP.
Probably, because there's been a lot of disrespected champions. Like, not a lot of conversation about the 04 Pistons, right? There's champions that slip through the cracks.
That's right.
Can you think of a less heralded, like, back-to-back championship team than Houston? Because it's just,
they won
because Jordan was gone.
Right.
But they won
Jordan came back, didn't have it in the playoffs, and then the year before he was out. So that's, they look at it that a door was open for them.
Right, but it's still, to win back-to-back titles.
And belly-to-belly.
And they had good players. But that team doesn't get the respect that it should.
Now, I think everyone who got caught up being between the Jordan wins ends up getting thrown away. Which, you're right, is not right. It's not right.
It's wrong.
Oh, Alan Hahn just texted me. He's upset.
About?
Oh, really? You said something that upset Alan Hahn?
It's just hearing the story, he said. He didn't even want to go back to 1994. Too painful.
I'd like to go back to 94.
Oh, yeah. I bet you enjoyed those finals for a different reason.
What reason is that? I just would like to be 26 years younger.
I just made supervisor at Sports Farm.
About to completely submarine the
place. No, I was a supervisor. First of all, I didn't submarine it. Life did. I just happened to be the guy who was on my watch, but that was still 6 years later.
That's like saying the captain of the Titanic. It wasn't me. It was the
Listen,
iceberg.
The boat always had problems, all right?
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Geico knows there are many reasons why you ride. From the thrill of the revving engine and pure adrenaline of flying down the highway, to the confidence of knowing that Geico always has your back with 24/7 access to claims service. But Ari Snyder has one reason in particular.
I have extremely large upper arms. They won't even fit into most shirts. Thankfully, biking really embraces vest culture, so I feel accepted.
Geico Motorcycle. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.